Good morning, and welcome to New Life Church. My name is Kunrad Bugelink, and I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. This morning, we're not just gathering to watch TV. I want us to pause and think about that for a moment. We are gathering together so that God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit, will work in us changed life. We are gathering as a diverse community across households, across the city of Chilliwack and Mission and Abbotsford and even into Langley, because we are a diverse community. That's something to celebrate. And then this morning, we're also preparing for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to prepare us to be a radical impact, because God has called us into neighborhoods, into communities, to remind others about the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's how we make a radical impact. So welcome this morning. That's what we're doing. It's not just about watching TV. This morning, we want to invite you to connect with us. You can connect with us through the New Life app, which you can download in the Google Play Store or on your Apple device. You can connect with us through our social media on Facebook and Instagram at New Life Abbey. And you can also connect with us on our website, which you can find right here. Right there. So welcome this morning. Let's join together in worship.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy out, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. And I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shamed. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty our grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty our grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us in our worship service. No matter where you are or at what time you're watching this, we're still connected. We're still the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 26 to 27, it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And while we might not be able to gather together in body, we are still together in spirit. And in these times of separation, we still grieve together, we still celebrate together, and we still press on together. And this is the attitude and the heart that we want to continue to remind you and ask you to continue to live in as we gather week in and week out virtually. At New Life, every week we create a space where we can come alongside our partnerships and ministries that we support in faith and in deed. We come alongside them in faith by praying for them and interceding for them, asking the Lord to bring about fruit as a result of their work. And we come alongside them in deed by giving of our finances, asking God to continue to build his kingdom as a result of what they're doing. And we do this not giving gifts from us to them, but we do this by giving our gifts and offerings before the Lord. We say, Lord, have your way in this. And that's the attitude that we come this morning to support in faith and indeed our missionaries. Our New Life missionaries are Fred Fictory, who's working in the Middle East, Fred Sutherland, who is working with Multiply and Resonate here in Abbotsford, Eve Pohl, who's working with Hope for Cora in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, the Barnhorns, who are working in Nigeria with Wycliffe Translation, and also Fernando Trevino, who's working with JPC in Bogota, Youth for Christ in Colombia. And we have a variety of ways for you to give to make sure everyone has the opportunity to give in whatever way they can. And you're going to find all of those in the video description below. And there's a variety of ways for you to give. So you can check that video description, or you can give through e-transfer text to give, or our New Life app. Or you could also just swing by the office and come connect with us here. Would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, in your word, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We thank you for each one of our missionaries that we come alongside in faith and in deed to support, and ask that you would continue to multiply the fruit that happens as a result of the work that they do in each of their cities and countries around the world. We lift up Fred Fictory, Fred Sutherland and his family, Eve Pohl and her family, Fernando Trevino and his family, and the Barnhorns. And we just ask that you would cover them, Lord. Give them all they stand in need of. We ask for another measure of anointing in their ministry. We ask that your grace would surround them, God, when things get difficult, that they would experience your peace and your grace. And we pray you give them discernment to know where to turn left and right as they go about their ministries. And we ask for open doors, Lord, and divine interventions, that you would show up as they minister, especially in these times of social distancing, where they might feel that the ministry isn't going the way that they wanted. We ask that you would come and give them that fresh boost. Lord, we ask for your covering over them, and we thank you so much for them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of our missionaries has sent in a short video update for you. Let's have a look at that video from Fred Fictory.
Hey, New Life, I hope you're well in this interesting time of history. Just wanted to say greetings from, my Matthew 6 verse 6 prayer closet bedroom here in Turkey under this time of lockdown. Like most people, Turkey's been under lockdown. It's been the month of Ramadan. They've been doing 4-day full lockdowns and 3-day partial lockdowns where you can still walk around and get talk to people and go to the grocery stores if you have a mask on and stuff. But here's a bit of an update from my bedroom. It's been a bit of a blessing in disguise, as I have yet to be bored in this time of lockdown. There's 100 different books I can attempt to start, but I haven't really finished any of them except the Bible. But besides that, there's my neighbors over there in the other apartment. Here's some maps. And I just want to ask you guys for prayer, especially for my Turkish friend who's got the YouTube channel. He's been emailing a lot of people having dreams and visions during this time of lockdown, but many are refusing Christ. They're rejecting the good news. They believe that Jesus is a good man. He was a prophet. And despite him showing up in these dreams and visions, they refuse him. Also, in my prayer update that I sent out a little while ago, my friend, actually, his father passed away from the coronavirus and some underlying heart issues. So if we could be in prayer for him and pray for salvation, I've been to his house and shared with him and his family. So Yeah, hopefully I can come there in September and see you guys, depending how flights are from Turkey. But thank you for your prayers in New Life.
Awesome. Well, kids, Pastor Sam and all the kids' church volunteers have an amazing Sunday service for you. So parents, in the video description below, you'll find how to connect them to theirs. At this time, you can go and set them up on another device or right beside you and let them watch this service that's been put together for them. And then you can join Pastor Nathan in the message that he's going to be preaching today. Also, we love seeing the pictures of the kids week in and week out. And if you would like to send in those pictures so that we can see and share that with our church, that'd be great. You can send it in through email, Facebook, Instagram, all those ways for you to send it in. And that way our kids can see each other and still feel connected that way. At this time, we'd like to invite you just to click pause for a moment and get them set up. And when we come back, we're going to be joining Pastor Nathan and his message, Strong and Sure.
Hi there. Hey, just before we get started, during this sermon series, I've been preaching in front of trees to convey the message of living strong and sure. And I have one other tree that I want to show you quickly. Hank and Alice Roos sent in a picture of a tree in their backyard that they call the Pentecost tree. And it's called that because its blossoms are in the shape of the wings of a dove. And a dove, of course, is the symbol of the presence of the Spirit. And so it's called a Pentecost tree. It bloomed earlier this spring and is now past. So in fact, what I have behind me is simply a picture of the tree. But I call your attention to it because today is Pentecost Sunday. Now, I know, admittedly, I forgot all about it in the context of our usual recording this Sunday. And I'm blaming that on the infinite present, that feeling that we all have during this pandemic, that time seems to stand still. It feels like it's still the beginning of March. Well, in any case, the fact is, we are believers whose present faith depends on the past actions of a mighty God so that we can have hope for the future. And one of those great acts of God in history is that he sent his Holy Spirit into our world. It happened one day when believers were gathered together and the sound of a rushing wind came through and the Holy Spirit came upon them like tongues of fire. People were talking and everyone, no matter what language they were speaking, understood each other. But here's an even more important thing, that they were speaking of the mighty acts of God. Now, God continues to be active in our world today, and his glorious deeds and his redemptive power in this broken world are at work through the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage us today to celebrate the presence of the Holy Spirit in our world and give thanks to God that because of the Holy Spirit, the church is the testimony of God. And that with the Holy Spirit in you, you live the life of Christ. As the Apostle John says in this first letter that we've been studying for our Strong and Sure series, this is God's command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commands. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in us. That's the marvel of it all, actually. He in us. And then get this, John adds, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave. So thanks be to God for his amazing gift of the Spirit in us. Well, with that, let's carry on then with today's message.
Good morning. Welcome to New Life again, and so glad that you've joined us. And I just want to say thank you as well for hanging in there with us as we've transitioned into these virtual services. Thanks so much for continuing to show up each week to watch these services. It is so important. We've made a lot of adjustments. We'll continue to make adjustments, and we continue to analyze the information that is constantly coming in to make changes that may or may not be necessary. And so I just want to say thank you for hanging in there with us and enjoying these services. Thanks, too, for your encouragement, for your patience, for your graciousness in making these changes. And I just hope and pray that as we continue to meet, even in this way, that we may continue to experience a sense of community, a community of Christ that we are, the body of Christ. So the most important thing is that we want to continue to focus on our essential mission, and that is to touch lives with the transforming love of Jesus. Well, now it's time to get back down to earth, and we're going to carry on with our message. So we're in a series of messages called Strong and Sure, and talking about what it means to live out our faith in the midst of all of this upheaval. And we've been using the image of trees to talk about being strong and sure. I'm in front of Bob and Gloria's house here this morning, and we're faced with this monstrous tree that not only looks strong and sure, but looks really sturdy. And thrilled to be able to preach from in front of this, to image what it means to live strong and sure. And so we've been in this series for several weeks now, talking about certainties that we can live with. The certainty of Jesus, the certainty of our forgiveness, the certainty of our identity. And learning, last week we talked about learning to live strong in love. And so we're continuing on in that series, and we're talking about what it means to live out our faith specifically today, because this pandemic seems to instill in us the sensitivity to ask the question, what is my Christianity about? What is the makeup of my faith in these times? It's sort of like a spring cleaning of our soul to say, what are the things that I have valued so long that don't appear to be so valuable anymore? Or vice versa, what are the things that I have taken for granted that now seem more valuable than they've ever been? And so we're asking that question in the context of faith. And here's what John says near the end of his letter. We've got one more message to go after this message. And here in the last chapter of his letter, chapter 5, this is what he says about believing and faith. John writes, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." What is our Christianity about? Well, John loves talking about faith and believing and the content of that belief. And so, in fact, at the end of his gospel, so we've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the same guy writing the gospel as this particular letter to Christians in Ephesus. But in his gospel, John concludes that gospel with these words. He says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written. So in other words, John could have gone on and on and on about the life and ministry of Jesus and what that means for us. But these are written, he says, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. For John, it's all about faith. It's all about what your Christianity is about. So earlier on in his letter, in this first letter that we're studying, in chapter 3, he sums up God's command with this. He says, we have confidence before God. That's the kind of confidence that we're talking about throughout this series in terms of living strong and sure. We have confidence before God because we keep his commands. And this is his command. Notice he changes from plural to singular. We have confidence before God because we keep his commands, plural. And this is his command, singular, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. You see what John has done there? He said, if you're going to love God, you got to keep his commands, all of them. And then he narrows it down and focuses in on what's the priority. And the priority, he says, is one command. But then he includes two things, believing in Jesus Christ and loving one another. And for John, those are one and the same. You cannot believe in Jesus Christ without loving one another. And you can't love one another without believing in Jesus Christ. And so as John instills that kind of confidence in the believers, he brings it down to that one thing. Our Christianity is about believing in Jesus Christ. Your Christianity has to be about Jesus. So he says in verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And then he concludes that passage there in verse 5. Everyone, who is it that overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That is the focus of our faith. To be believing in Jesus as the Savior of the world, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. And to believe Jesus is the Son of God. Divine. That he is God, that he is the ruler over the world, that he is over all things, that he is God. Our Christianity is about believing Jesus, believing in him, 100% divine, 100% human, come to save us from our sin, and coming into this world as the ruler over all things. It's not a new thing that John is talking about. In fact, Alan Hirsch observes that this actually originates out of the Old Testament when God reveals himself to the people of God in Israel. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we get this well-known verse that God's people learned to live by. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Faith has that kind of singular focus, and it's rooted in how God reveals himself already back in the beginning. You see, back then, in ancient times, the people of God were called to believe in one God in the context of civilizations and cultures who were a people who they didn't not have faith, but they had faith and they lived by faith in a multitude of gods. So if, for instance, you went to get some water, you would walk down a path, you would pass trees, and you would have to, in order to stay safe and feel secure and to be able to live confidently, to live strong and sure, to use the language of our series, you'd have to be praying to each of the gods and making sure that you're satisfying each of the gods. So you would walk along a path. You'd have to appease the god of the path. You'd have to appease the god of trees. You'd have to appease the god of the river out of whose water you would take. And all of these things would fragment people's lives so that they're devoted to all kinds of gods. And these gods were sometimes in conflict with each other. And these gods, some of them were good, some of them were regarded as bad or evil. And people's lives were broken apart, and you never knew which way to turn. In that context, God reveals himself and says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And so in a similar way, when God reveals himself most fully in the person of Jesus come into our world, into our time and space, into our history, God reveals himself as one. And so we believe in one in whom all things exist, one Lord, one master over everything. So that our lives, as they are lived out in faith, believing in Jesus, are devoted to one thing, to the Lord of all. Our life, everything we do, everything we are, is devoted to Jesus. That is our focus. That is the core, the center of our faith. What's our faith made of? Believing in Jesus. That must be our singular focus. And that's so critical, because we have this, what seems to be a natural tendency, an automatic inclination to make our Christianity, to make our faith about a multitude of things. You know this for yourself. I mean, even the obvious during this pandemic. If we've ever made our Christianity about going to church on Sunday, suddenly that's taken away in this disruption. And perhaps we've, at certain times or as different people, we've made our Christianity all about me, so that we think of it in terms of how it can serve me, how it can make me happy. If I believe, then I will be happy. If I have faith, then I will be safe. If I am devoted to Jesus, well, then I can be successful. And we've made it all about ourselves, thinking that everything will be shaped for good around ourselves, and suddenly we find out that, wow, our life is not the way we expected it to be. Or maybe at times we've made our Christianity about behaving the right way, except that now, in isolation, in quarantine, in self-distancing, nobody sees us anymore. So who are we trying to impress? And suddenly the questions of integrity, of who am I really, come to the fore. What is your Christianity about? No longer can it be about impressing others. They just don't see you anymore. Perhaps we've been tempted also to make our Christianity about believing things would be the same as they were yesterday, or months ago, or last year. But now they are no longer the same. Or perhaps we've made our Christianity all about expecting that our tomorrows will always be the same as today. And we've put our hope in that, that as lovely as my life is now, I can expect that to remain tomorrow and the next day and the next years. And suddenly that's taken away from us. And we're left with the question, what is our Christianity about? And so amazingly, this pandemic is perhaps a way for us to find healing, to find the source of our Christianity. And perhaps this pandemic, in an ironic sort of way, can lead us back to what our Christianity really needs to be about: Jesus our Lord. For as Paul says, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Romans 11, verse 36. John wants us to grab a hold of our faith and know exactly what it's about. In the midst of our temptations and tendencies to make Christianity about all kinds of different things, it has to be about believing in Jesus. Why? Well, John makes that clear too, that it's so important for us to have that singular focus upon Jesus the Messiah, Jesus our Savior, Jesus the Master of our lives. Because in the first place, faith that is shaped around following hard after Jesus, as we like to say here at New Life, that's a critical part of our discipleship process, to follow hard after Jesus. And faith that follows hard after Jesus assures us that we belong to God. Look, the Christians to whom John was writing in Ephesus, their lives were in such turmoil. They were living with a lot of uncertainty, not the least of which came from the fact that some of the fellow believers, some from their own church, had left and said, well, it's not really about believing in the person of Jesus so much as it is about finding enlightenment from within yourself to become closer to God. And so they left. And the Christians that remained were stunned. They were like, we thought this was our family. We thought these people were our brothers and sisters. And now somehow they've separated from us. They've said we were wrong, so now we don't know what's right. And they were faced with all kinds of uncertainty. And so John encourages them with that verse, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's that whole image of rebirth that John loves to talk about. And it's the assurance that we really do belong to God, that no matter what questions we face, no matter what kind of inconsistencies confront us in our lives, no matter what kinds of uncertainties, we are confident in this, that we belong to God. John assures us of that as we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. A faith that follows hard after Jesus not only assures us that we belong to God, but it also empowers us to do the will of God. That too was overwhelming to the Christians to whom John is writing, and even in our time, even before the pandemic, I suppose, sometimes it is overwhelming to think that we can fulfill God's will in our lives. There are so many things that pull us apart and that pull us away from attention to God, away from the focus on Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. So how do we know that we can fulfill the law of God? How can we know that we can observe all of God? All of God's commands. Well, says John, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And then he quickly adds, and God's commands are not burdensome. They're not meant to be a heavy weight that lingers over us, hovers over us in judgment. No. In fact, remember Jesus' words in the middle of Matthew's gospel when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. It's the very same word here that John uses. Perhaps John was remembering Jesus' words here. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, Jesus says, and my burden is light. What does that mean? To take on Jesus' light burden means that it's not a matter of us trying to figure out all of the intricacies of life to bring God into all of our hardships and confusion and decisions and all of our temptation. It's not a matter of bringing God into our life, It's a matter of entering into relationship with Jesus. And there we have then the focus that John says needs to be the center of what our Christianity is all about. Knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, believing in Jesus, to make the content of our faith all about Jesus and knowing him, loving him, believing him. A faith that follows hard after Jesus is a faith that assures us that we belong to God. It's a faith that empowers us to do his will. And it's a faith that overcomes our world. Overcomes, what John means there is, overcomes all of the traps and temptations of our world, all of the worldliness of our lives. And perhaps such a statement sounds almost escapist. And that is indeed a danger that we need to watch out for, that we don't simply use faith to say, well, everything's going to be fine. My life will be good as long as I have faith. If I believe, then God will make everything turn out. That's not faith. That's a business deal. That's us looking for a bargain in life. But in fact, what John intends for us is to recognize that in believing that Jesus is the Savior of the world and that he is the Lord of all things, that he is the ruler over all, that then in him we overcome the world. And so John says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not our faith so much as it is our faith in Jesus who has overcome the world. And John says as much then in his gospel in chapter 16, when he says, he's speaking to his disciples and he's assuring them that he will not abandon them, that even though he will be crucified, that he would die, that he'd be buried, he will rise again and he will ascend into heaven. I have told you these things, Jesus says, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. See, there's the non-escapist perspective that John wants us to get. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Paul says a similar thing, actually, in the book of Romans, in his great letter to the Christians in Rome, in chapter 8. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. There is the location of our redemption. That is who we believe in, our Savior, who has given up his life for us. And then John adds a few verses later, no, in all these things, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That is the gospel truth. That is the faith that we need to live confidently in uncertain times, to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Savior of my life, to believe that Jesus is the very Son of God who rules over all, in whom all things were made, through whom all things were made, and for whom all things were made. That is our Savior. He is our Lord. We believe in him, and so we live in confidence and in peace. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we rejoice today because you are a good God. You have revealed yourself as one God, and we are devoted to you. Father, forgive us when our hearts stray and when our minds worry and when we strain under the burden of this world's concerns and worries. And so, Father, we pray that you will surround us with your love and that you will guide us in your ways and teach us what it means to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Teach us, God, to make our Christianity all about the one Savior and ruler over all. And so we pray, God, that in these coming days, that you will teach us to live with that kind of confidence. In the midst of all of the upheaval and disruption that we endure, God, we are confident and we live in the peace of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So go into this week to live confidently in that faith, believing that Jesus is the Savior of the world and he's the master of your life. Walk in confidence, and may this be your testimony of living this week to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, and power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all things, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay in my head, and I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so. The goodness of God, and I will sing. of the goodness of God.
Thanks for joining us today. Have a great Sunday.